Les séminaires du Collège de France.
So I will speak in English to introduce Shengxin. Actually, Sheng does not need much introduction. For those of you who have been attending some of the previous lectures over the years, the work of Sheng has been kind of central in many lecture series. I remember I spoke about Feshbach resonances, and I was quoting Sheng many times, both for his finding and for his reviews, which were very useful. I mean, we spoke about strongly interacting Fermi gases. Again, we quoted Cheng. FEM of physics last year, the work of Cheng was seminal. And 2D Bose gases, which was also subject of 1 year, Kosterlitz Tauless transition, scale invariance, universality, and again, Cheng's work was essential for that. So it's really a great pleasure to have Cheng among us today. Actually spending a few days here. Just a word about his trajectory in physics. Cheng made his PhD with Steve Chu in Stanford from between 95 and 2001, I think. Then you stayed 2 more years in Stanford as a postdoc, and then you came to Europe as a research scientist in Innsbruck with Rudi Grimm, who, by the way, will be giving the seminar next week. And then 2005, you started in Chicago, and you have been in Chicago for 20 years now, essentially. 19, maybe. And just to finish this very short presentation, I would like to say that Cheng has received many prizes. I'm not going to list all of them, but the one I would like to quote is UPAP Young Scientist Prize, the Rabi Prize of the American Physical Society. He's an Humboldt Fellow, and he got the Bose-Einstein Condensation Prize in 2017, I think. So, Cheng, the floor is yours. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, John, for giving me this opportunity to come here and to talk to you. And indeed, I have been here multiple times. I know a lot of very great to see many familiar faces and also young students. And happy to be here. Enjoyed the past couple of days very, very much. Okay. And also this opportunity to talk to, I seen the two lectures 2 days ago to talk to the students about some ideas. And also today, mostly to kind of report our kind of recent result, trying to understand kind of reactions of this atom molecule at very, very low temperature. All right, so I understand this is a crowd with, I can see a mixture of students, experts, everybody. Okay, and so I try to just get onto the essential ideas. Of course, there will also be some formulas or some data and so on. Feel free, I'll be happy to talk to you. Okay, I'll still be here for a few more days and have more discussion. And certainly, this is research, so I'm not sure where this we're still exploring. Okay, so hopefully this also get ideas from you how we should proceed. Okay, so what you see in the first slide, this is the Chicago downtown. Okay, now the weather's getting better, so if you have any opportunity to visit Chicago, summer is the best time. But this is the Michigan Lake right next to the big city. Okay, and yeah, so we are maybe about 15 minute driving distance. Okay, from this from downtown. Okay, I'm going to start with for the general public. Okay, so since I've been, as John mentioned, I've been working in this UMass Chicago for 10 years. The most common question I have from student, family members is, "So, what exactly are you doing? What do you do?" Okay. Quite frankly, I don't think any of them really want the answer. They're just curious. Okay, but they are not really trying to explain what exactly I'm doing. Then I think they are losing interest. Okay. So. Typically, say, you know, this you can go down to this try to see what is the general concept, what we are doing. Okay, so you can try to put this into this say Google, okay, and the image, okay. And then just try to see this what the general concept, what scientists are doing. Okay. The first thing, you have to wear a white coat. All right, okay, except for the last guy, okay. Fortunately, we just have the Einstein at the corner. Otherwise, the general idea, people have an idea because scientists are doing something like the chemistry type of experiment, Okay. And that's exactly what I tried to avoid when I was a student. I was not good at chemistry. I think chemistry is way too complicated. Look at this textbook. In the past couple of months, I start to, because of research, try to go into this quantum chemistry. I borrowed this textbook. Okay, I put it on my desk for a couple of months. I don't think I really kind of get much out of it. All right, so typical people talk about chemistry, going from some kind of a molecule, some configuration, going to another state, go through a so-called this coordinate landscape. How do we go from such kind of molecule to a different form, and so on, eventually reach a kind of final product. Okay. People want to understand how you can control the reaction, how the certain molecule be converted into something that's more useful. Okay. And certainly this is for complicated molecules. I think you might know people trying to develop, say, AI or for something that complicated, protein folding and so on, making a lot of progress. But overall, it's hard, okay? It's a difficult problem, okay? How to control the speed, control the reaction product, okay? And this is certainly a field with a lot of challenges, okay? But as a scientist, we try to come down to the basics. What is the fundamental principles that really drive a reactant into a product? Okay, what's the most important the essence of such kind of interaction? Okay, we can just consider the simplest kind of reaction going from, say, simple atoms can combine into molecules. A conventional picture is that you prepare your reactant, say, into a test tube, okay? And then you can try to wait and see when do we see the product, and then you'll see sometimes you need to heat it up, right? If you remember the general chemistry experiment, one strategy is to try to heat up the reactants, and that provides some kind of sufficient energy to go over the so-called activation energy, so this higher probability the system can be converted into particular product. May not be the product you want, but at least something will happen. And during this process, we think about this, what we call the reactions, about how the molecule, atom molecule then collide. When you go to higher temperature, there's a higher probability they will collide, and the higher chance, higher collision rate, and then every collision, there's a small probability. Okay, maybe every 100 collisions, then one molecule can be created. Okay. In this picture, if you go to very, very low temperature, okay, it will be impossible for you to go over the barrier, okay, because now there's insufficient energy for people for the reactant to go over this barrier. Okay, say that if I very, very low temperature, it wouldn't go. Okay, so and such kind of law is also called Arrhenius, okay, law. That is the reaction rate. Okay, would depend on the temperature. If you go to extremely low temperature, it'll be very difficult to climb over the hill. Okay, then the reaction rate will be low. Okay, so and this, of course, is a very simple example. In true molecule, there are many, many different energy scales. Okay, even for the simplest diatomic molecules, okay, there are all kinds of energy that can associate with it. And this is a nice kind of a cartoon drawn by Jun Yi from Gila's group. They try to show that going from the room temperature, or even higher than room temperature, all kind of vibrational motion, rotational motion, at all different scale, you see all kinds of these complications. Okay, so this different scale will pose different kind of challenges. Okay, and then if you wish to prepare the molecule in the desired this vibrational state, rotational state, okay, finally the internal state. Okay, so a general goal is that since it covers so many order of magnitude, the colder you can get, in principle, okay, then you can have a better control. So a couple of years ago, the best limit, the lowest temperature people can reach, can get down to 200 nanokelvin, 200 times 10 to minus 9 Kelvin, and then the molecules start to enter the quantum regime, and hopefully you can really control molecule at a single quantum state level. Okay, so that is a kind of process going from classical chemistry that involve many, many degrees of freedom into this quantum regime. Okay. So in this talk, I would like to share with you, we can push one step further down to kind of less than 10 nanokelvin, and this molecule, they can essentially all prepare in a desired quantum state. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'd like to mention this is a very active field. Okay, certainly there are a lot of including people here, a lot of this effort in the past decades. Okay, trying to go to lower temperature. Okay, and I drew this arrow, you can see here. Horizontal direction, this is temperature. Zero means one Kelvin. Minus three means mini Kelvin, micro Kelvin, nano Kelvin. So lower temperature, then move to the left. Then the system can be better controlled in a particular quantum state. In the vertical direction, this is a density, some funny unit. Okay, this means 1,000 atoms, 1,000 molecules per cubic centimeter, medium, billion, trillion. Okay, molecules within one cubic centimeter. So we go to lower temperature and higher density. Okay, then people expect can this system be more quantum mechanical like? Okay, you know, can discover some new kind of new form of chemistry. Okay, all right. I'm not going to skip all the detail. But different technology being developed. How to go to mini Kelvin, micro Kelvin, nano Kelvin. But ultimate goal is trying to go to this upper left corner. Okay, and if you couldn't see very clearly, it says quantum degeneracy. That is a situation where you can prepare all molecules into a particular kind of desired quantum state. And here is a partial list of a lot of kind of research group from all the universities in all over the world. Okay, and they work on different kind of molecules. There's so many different kind of molecules. Some are very simple, like diatomic molecules. Okay, that's what working on the cesium-2 and so on. And some are more complicated molecules, including this multi-atomic molecules. Okay, and then for some of these, we have a pretty good success that we can get them down to the quantum degeneracy, meaning all the molecules prepare the same single quantum state, labeled yellow. So if that is the science goal, then we expect to see something. When we reach a goal, we expect to see something new. Okay, and that's the topic of my talk. Okay, already a couple of years ago, the first example people identify is the transition between the Cooper pairing of fermionic atoms into the molecules. Okay, and so such kind of transition from Cooper pairs that people discuss in the superconductor, there's a mechanism you can pair electrons. Okay, and we found that kind of pairing also happened in fermionic atoms, and then it can be converted into the molecules. So the molecules and the Cooper pairs essentially are pretty much the same thing, okay, as far as this atomic quantum gas is concerned, and that's considered one of the major breakthroughs years ago. And more recently, there's a lot of progress instead of trying to get this realize the Cooper pairing and so on. There are other ideas. Okay, for instance, that in just a couple of years ago. Okay, this Jung-Yi's group at GILA, they realized they can get this molecule to form a Fermi gas. Okay, conventionally think about Fermi gas in terms of electrons. Okay, the electrons are fermions. Or neutron star, or neutrons also fermion, they can form a Fermi gas. But nowadays, not only atom can form a Fermi gas, molecule can also form a Fermi gas. As long as you start with a fermionic molecule, you get a Fermi gas. If you get a bosonic molecule, then you get you get something called a Bose condensate. Okay, so that's one thing that is a very, when you go to extremely low temperature, when quantum mechanics start to play a role, then there's two major categories. When the particles are fermionic, okay, then behave more like electrons. Particles more bosonic, they behave more like, say, photons. Okay, and they have a different kind of ultimate. At low temperature, you can get a Fermi gas or Bose condensates, depending on whether the molecules are bosonic or fermionic. And such kind of distinction is not really clear at the high temperature. The room temperature, you don't really see much whether the molecule are bosonic or fermionic. But then, at extremely low temperature, that plays a very important role. Okay, so this is a comparison between the Jung's group. Okay, they realized degenerate Fermi gas of KRV molecules, and what they did is that they start with the atoms. okay, and then pair atom into molecules, and that is the kind of a chemical reaction we are trying to talk about. In this case, both species, in this case, Rb is a rubidium atom, K is a potassium atom, and this atom going to low temperature, they were able to pair them into the molecule. They call it KRb molecules, and then the temperature is below the Fermi temperature, so it's still very, very cold, kind of hundreds of nano, 100, 200 nanokelvin, and it form a degenerate Fermi gas. And in our work, this today I'd like to mention about this our cesium atom. Okay, also for this in this case will be boson, and pair two boson into a molecules. So once you have one boson, another boson, put them together will also be a, also be bosonic. Okay, so this the molecule we create cesium two. Okay, we can also form a condensate, and that's what we're talking about. How we create these molecules, okay, in the this in a single quantum state, and how do we see the reactions? So let me review a little bit about this. Nowadays, a lot of people are trying to go along follow this the Gehler's experiment, and then the basic idea is that it's first trying to figure out what are the energy structures, okay, for atom in the ground state and the atom in the excited state, and try to identify the proper kind of lasers you can apply on the atom to drive the transition from this from atoms, okay, convert the atom into molecules. And typically that's a two-step process. They first form some kind of weak, very weakly bound, fish bound molecules. So first you pair them, okay, but these molecules are very, very excited, okay? And then you use this identifier, you see they're using two lasers, 123 nanometer and 998 nanometer in order to convert the molecules into the ground state. The purpose of this is that they, a lot of people believe if you bring the molecule to the ground state, it should have a better stability. Then you can form a better this the molecule can survive longer. Okay, in our case, we are working on cesium atom. We found a different approach. We say if we can already create this, the first step can create this very wicked bound molecules. Okay. We found that some of these molecules are already very stable, so we can directly convert them into a molecular condensate. What we do is that we can say this is the energy structure. You can see all the lines, the black line, red line, blue line, they're all the molecular states below the continuum. Okay. Continuum is zero. That's the energy of free atoms. If we define the energy of free atom as zero, then the bound state supposedly should be below zero. Right, and these states so are the molecular states. And then this in this diagram, you show, we show that this horizontally, this is a magnetic field. Okay, for instance, around 20 Gauss, the 20 is here, around 20 Gauss, turns out there is a molecular state, this particular molecular state, there's some molecular quantum number and so on, you don't need to worry about that. But at the 20 Gauss, there is a molecular bound state that kind of crosses the atoms at zero. So such kind of energy crossing happens very frequently in physics. If you this is called a resonant behavior, you can have you can see that in the mechanics in electromagnetism and so on. Whenever you can bring the two energy into the same level, and then it's a resonant enhancement that just like two sound forks. Okay, when one is resonant at the same frequency, the second one there's an energy transfer. Right here is the same thing. When bring the molecular energy into zero, that's atomic energy. There's also resonant kind of energy transfer, okay, that convert the atom directly into molecules. So experimentally, the way we did this is that we start with this atomic condensate. They look kind of round and circular because we confine them into a very uniform and this circular potential. Okay, the potential is shown in this kind of blue, and this is for visualization, I just show you what happens if you cut the trap into two halves. Of course, there's another half that I'm not showing. So this with condensed atoms in this two-dimensional, like a petri dish, okay, and very thin in the z direction, but very round and this circular in the horizontal direction, it's like a pizza, or in French, maybe like a pancake. Okay. So now this That's the first step. We try to prepare the particles in such kind of uniform uniform box. And the second step, we try to select the particular molecular state, okay, and bring that molecular state into energy degeneracy with the atoms. Okay. And when you tune the two frequencies, just like if you tune the two kind of modes into degeneracy, we start to see the kind of resonant energy, resonant transfer from atom into the molecules. Okay. When molecules are created, okay, and then the last thing we did is we just blow away the atom. We want to prepare a pure, simple molecule. So this is the dynamical process. It probably takes a couple hundred microseconds to induce a kind of resonance. After the resonance, we only want to keep the molecules, then we can blow the atoms away. Okay, and we do that by using laser with different colors to kind of control atom and molecules independently. At the end, this is how this image shows the molecule we prepare in our sample. Okay, and this original image of the atoms. Okay, and then it looks like there's a hole in the middle. That's because our trap is a uniform, but not perfectly uniform. There's still about a little bit about nano Kelvin kind of inhomogeneity near the bottom. So we know this is just coming from the way imperfection of our trap. All right, so that is a conversion going from atom molecules. Okay, but how this, so this process in principle is already a chemical reaction. But I want to understand whether such kind of reaction is different for thermal gas and for quantum gas. For thermal gas, okay, we have it's very well understood. I'm not going to say much about all the kind of the theory people develop for this thermal atom, thermal molecules. People understand that as a kind of collision process, as I mentioned. Okay, when particles collide, then depending on how fast they collide, depends on the energy of these particles. Okay, then you can derive the kind of a general law how molecule increases. Okay, as a function of density of the atoms, N, and also some coefficient that you can compute classically. Our experiment shows if you go down lower and lower temperature, horizontal axis of temperature, normalized by the critical temperatures, anything above one is classical. Anything below one is quantum. So we're able to scan over this entire regime, see how the reaction in the classical gas, and follow some kind of classical law. Or here, this the red line is some kind of classical law with overall kind of branching ratio, some coefficient provide the normalization. So you can see on high temperature, it follows this the prediction quite well. But going to quantum gas, it looks like it follows very different law. Okay, so this is the first indication, just by looking at the rate coefficient, just by how fast the reaction is happening. Now we see this seem to be a following different type of this. Different laws. Okay, right. So how do we really to show that this indeed now this the molecule thus created also kind of behave like a quantum gas. So repeat the experiment. Okay, to see again this the process differently in terms of chemical potential. Again, right here on the right hand side for high chemical potential means the system already in the quantum regime. Okay. And left hand side should be in the thermal regime that is high. So you can just think about high temperature on the left side and low temperature on the right side. Okay. So you want to perform the experiment at a different temperature or the classical regime versus the quantum regime and they compare with the theory. For the classical gas, we know how the y-axis is the density, some dimension is density, it's called phase-based density. That's something we can measure from the molecular number and the molecular temperature. Okay. Then we see how the density, the phase-based density, depends on the chemical potential and show that indeed for high temperature, it follows a classical behavior like a thermal gas behavior. Okay, that's the so-called equation of state for the thermal gas. When the system being driven closer and closer to the quantum regime, we start to see a very different behavior. You can see this curve, okay, is more like an exponential curve. But somehow, when you go above zero, then more or less can switch over to a straight line, okay, with a much higher slope. Okay, And this is a well understood behavior. People can study this about this quantum gas. When the system really reached the kind of quantum regime, then the dependence between the chemical potential and the density, that's the horizontal axis, the vertical axis here, will be linked by a simple constant. Okay, but that constant can determine the scattering length between. We can determine the interaction between molecule and molecule. That turns out to be 224. All right, so this gives all the kind of technical detail. This plot that just shows that we can repeat the experiment from high temperature to low temperature. Indeed, we can see it confirmed with the expected behavior based on this thermodynamics. Okay, so thermodynamically speaking, we can confirm this transition into the molecular BEC. All right, and this is another way to plot to show that this indeed we can see the molecule into the quantum regime. So this experiment is an earlier experiment to confirm the molecules are condensed. All right, so but that's not how our goal, our ultimate goal. Trying to see what do we want to see. We want to see if we really go to the true quantum mechanical regime. What will be the new guiding principle of chemistry? Will chemistry be different? Okay, this collision or kind of this picture or this it may be replaced by something more interesting. Okay, so let's start with some prediction in the literature. Okay, so right here the prediction is that if you can go to lower temperature, okay, for atoms on the right hand side, atom can form a condensate. Molecule on the left hand side can also form a condensate, okay. And then this solid line indicates the kind of transition. So classical system and the quantum system, there's a clear boundary between the two. Between them, and this is typically called a critical temperature. When the temperature below critical temperature, the system atom condense. But for molecule, you need to go to much lower temperature, and this is the two reasons. First, whenever you try to induce a pairing, then the mass of the particle increases, right? So you pair two particles into one molecule, the mass is twice as large. Second, okay, this the number of molecule would then be an atom number divided by two. So for more massive particle and a fewer number of particles, okay, both factor attribute to a lower critical temperature. So this shows a kind of even when everything is in a almost ideal system, okay, the critical temperature of a molecule is a factor of something like 2 root 2 or something like that, almost a factor of 4 lower than these atoms. So when you get this, you need to go to much lower temperature in order to get molecule to condense. Okay, that's the first information. Second, if you go to then what is the conventional chemistry? Conventional chemistry will be the transition between kind of normal atoms. When temperature very, very high, say you go to like a room temperature and so on. When temperature very high, you have a kind of a normal kind of a thermal gas. Like all we're breathing, these are normal gas. And then atom can all be converted into molecule in the normal gas regime. And that is, you can say, that's a conventional chemistry that happened, okay, across this dashed line. Okay, from normal atom to normal molecules. Okay, and you can call this is the kind of chemistry that we talk about is mostly driven by the kind of thermal energy, because the higher temperature lead to a higher collision rate, and then the reaction in principle can be faster. But when we go down to very, very low temperature, that's the considered limit, go down to zero temperature. Okay, so temperature is no longer important, but the reaction can still happen. That's how we can see such kind of this conversion from atom to molecule. But this time no longer driven by temperature, but in principle, there should be a transition from atomic BEC to molecular BEC. Okay? And then in the literature, in this paper, they may consider this is a chemistry that is more quantum mechanical in nature. It can lead to the all kind of collective quantum mechanical effect. So it's been called the so-called superchemistry. All that means is that it's a quantum mechanical effect, it's a collective. You can see atomic BEC, the molecular BEC in a coherent and a quantum mechanical evolution between the two states. All right. But this early paper had missed several important some important features based on our kind of a better model. Okay, and I show that on the right hand side, you saw this stable atomic BEC. Left hand side can be stable molecular BEC as long as you have a proper kind of interaction to stabilize. Okay, this the samples. But in the middle, okay, because the coupling between N molecules, there's the near the resonance, the system will be unstable. Okay, for the experts, if you can look at this Hamiltonian, you have energy of molecule, energy of detuning the molecule, energy of the atom, energy of the molecule, and this coupling between atom molecules, okay, it can write down what is the kind of a ground state energy, and there's a certain regime, the system is it will be unstable, okay. So what this means is that for our system, such kind of transition from atom to molecule likely happen in the regime system is not stable. Okay. So our experimental approach has been the following. Prepare the BEC on one side when it's stable, and then in order to convert molecule, we need to put ourselves into this unstable regime, okay, and need to look at how they react. Okay. But because the system is not truly stable in this regime, after some interaction time, then we need to bring the system away from the resonance, okay, and see how many molecules we can create. All right, okay. But if we just leave out those complications about the instability and maybe lead to some inelastic process and so on, that's just for the fun of it. Let's try to see, in principle, if we forget about the loss, okay, what do we expect? In the quantum regime, the molecule reaction can behave differently from the atoms. All right. Okay, so now let's do some exercise. Write down the equation for this chemical reaction in this quantum regime. Here, I'm making an assumption all the atoms, they occupy one state. This atomic state, this molecular state. Okay? Say you might have 1,000 atoms, then you'll be 1,000 atoms in the same state. You have 500 molecules, there'll be 500 molecules in the other state. Now, because there's a resonance that experimentally we can induce between the two states, we can see how the population will convert and go from one to the other one. But we know this, we're talking about a simple reaction. So whenever you create one molecule, you must lose two atoms. Okay, this energy, or you can say this mass conservation, okay, that is you won't be able to avoid that even in quantum mechanics. So what this means is that this, understand what I'm writing here, this is more like just describing what the reaction process. You lose two atoms and create molecules, or you lose one molecule and create two atoms. Okay, and this is how we could think about the resonant coupling between atom and molecule in the many body system. If you write down such a Hamiltonian, then you can try to kind of solve the equation and see what would be the evolution of the molecule and the atoms. And here, let me just mention this is a creation of molecules. When you see the dagger here. Okay, and then you can write down the equation and see how the molecule will increase with time. Okay, if you start with atom, you want to see more molecules, so you want to have write down the equation and see what's the best way to describe the evolution or the formation of molecules. Okay, with such kind of a picture, it's very different from the classical chemistry that we learn in general chemistry class. Okay. We are talking about a process that is coherently couples atoms from molecules, and all the atoms share the same wave function, coupled to molecule, where all the molecules also assumed to be occupying the same wave function. This is an approximation just for the simplicity, that's assuming there's only atomic BEC, molecular BEC, there's nothing else. Okay. And there's a reaction. You can create a molecule from atoms, or you can create this atom from molecules. That's a dissociation process, and the synthesis of molecule and the decomposition of molecules. Okay. And finally, the energy of atom molecule can be controlled. That's something experimentally you can use the magnetic field to control them. Okay. All right, so if you know in how to solve the equation, we can just try to solve it and see how the system will behave as we induce a coupling between the two species. So we try different ways, and turns out one result that surprised us a little bit is that you can actually look at this kind of complicated equation, the field equation and so on, and put it into some kind of a simple kind of analog, just what we learned in general mechanics. Okay, then there is a kinetic energy, there's a potential energy. Right here, if you look at the how fast the molecules are created, Nm is the number of molecules. Okay, and think about that as a velocity. And then there will be associated potential such that the total energy seem to be a constant. Okay, but this is just analog. This is certainly not a coordinate, and also this is the operator and so on. So it's not, but it just had a similar form. Okay, when bring a similar form, that can provide you some kind of the general picture. Okay, then we can, based on this equation, can derive what would be such kind of potential that we call it kind of reaction potential, how this V2 function looks like. Okay, so I'm drawing right here. So what I'm drawing here is just some kind of potential that more or less describe this kind of energy of the system. And I made the assumption that both atom molecule, they have zero energy to begin with. They are degenerate. Okay, so that's what we can do experimentally. We can tune them into degeneracy. So 100% atom and 100% molecule, they share the same energy. But now if we induce a coupling, now it's possible to kind of derive this potential to show that there is some kind of curve. Okay? And this potential can have a lower energy. It's just like the particle can slide down the potential well that release the marbles into the ball. Okay? There seem to be some kind of tendency that will bring the system into some kind of mixture. 100% atoms is not the lowest state. 100% molecule also not the lowest state. Okay, then there's some kind of potential. It can can be described by that equation. Okay, so if you really take the kind of classical mechanics analog kind of seriously, you will say if you release a particle here, I think we probably all know due to the energy potential, energy conservation, the particle, the system will gain some energy, will probably slide down to here and go to the other side, and maybe it will come back and so on. Okay. But quantum mechanics is a bit richer than this. Okay. If you take that approximation, okay, this is that kind of picture, this is so-called the mean field picture. Okay. You can forget about the terminologies. Essentially, if you start with all atoms to begin with, okay, and then you expect the particle go slide down and go to the other side. And you get stuck. That's quite a mean field. Why does it get stuck? This is because the particle release them here. Eventually come down to the other side, but it's almost getting to the top of the hill. Okay, and the hill slope is zero. So when you get to the other end, okay, the system gets stuck right there. But this is not what happened if you really look at the full quantum mechanical behavior. And this is the expected value. This is what you expect under this molecular number. It turns out you show something like this. This is typically associated with some kind of damped oscillator. You're saying there may be dissipation and so on. Okay, but so far, I haven't even introduced any dissipation to the system. But the behavior somehow looks dissipative. Okay. So the true kind of full quantum mechanical calculation shows the following behavior. If you start with zero molecules and T equal to zero and then turn on the reaction, okay? And then see how the system behaves. For the first half a cycle, it follows the mean field pretty well, but then very quickly develop into something really, really kind of messy, okay? There may be some rule, there may be some interesting physics here, but from this calculation, this is exact diagonalization. It's kind of do our best to solve the equation. You can see this develop all kinds of superposition, entanglement, and so on. So it's a huge mess. Okay. Even though it's a huge span, you can still try to evaluate expectation value, try to see what the mean kind of if it repeats many, many times, okay, what do you expect? So it turns out the result is this kind of damp oscillation, also reported in this earlier paper. Okay, the quantum calculation shows some kind of damp oscillation, okay, and it's very, very different from your generic picture, this mean field, your classical picture. Okay, how the system will behave. Okay, and eventually the system seems to be settled down to some kind of some kind of equilibrium. Okay, if you look at expectation value. All right. So now the question is if you do the experiment, okay, what do we see? Okay. All right. This is what we see. So at t equals 0, we start with 100%. This about 2 × 10^4, 20,000 atoms. Okay. And then we quickly change the magnetic field. We quickly induce the resonance. We want to see with our time resolution, we want to see how atom drops, how molecule increases. So if you take my right hand, the atom in the beginning, we have 20,000 atoms and no molecules. Okay, and t equals 0, we suddenly kind of induce a resonance and try to see how population go from one side to the other side. Okay, and this is what we see. A short time, the atom quickly drops, and molecule quickly increases. Molecule number quickly increases. And then for the next few hundred microseconds, we actually have no idea what system is doing. So it looks, maybe there's some variation we couldn't quite tell. But afterwards, we start to see some kind of more regular oscillations. Okay, all right. And lastly, if you wait for long enough time, okay, there's overall decay. I think for longer time scale, say 3 milliseconds and so on, then we start eventually the system will decay. Now we understood there is some kind of instability process that happening. Okay, so our focus more about this: what happened in the first couple milliseconds? Do we understand the fast decay and also understand this oscillation? This oscillation is something new to us. Okay, first, let's look at the decay, initial decay. Okay, so as an experimentalist, it looks like this is something close to a linear curve. So I'm just going to trying to describe the beginning for the first few hundred microseconds, try to use a linear curve, okay, to kind of feed the data, okay, try to see how fast atom number drops and how fast molecule number increases. Turns out they are linked because in principle, you lose two atoms, you could create one molecule. All right, so if you look at the initial kind of decay, now this is a result, that is a loss rate, just from the linear slope. Okay, from the linear slope, we can see the loss rate. Okay, and here, zero is a resonance. I just offset the coordinate, such as her resonance is exactly at zero. Okay. So on one side, you can see the data point drop down quickly down to 0.1. 0.1 means our system has 10-second lifetime. Okay, all right. We're far away at 10-second lifetime. We're getting closer and closer to resonance. Now become go to one. That means the system 1-second lifetime. 10 to when it go to 10^3, the 1 millisecond lifetime. Okay, so molecule this atom will quickly drop within 1 millisecond. Eventually, go all the way down to kind of 10^5. I mean, 10 microsecond lifetime. So it's a huge kind of a reaction, change of the reaction rate from very, very slow reaction to very, very fast reaction within kind of a 5 or 6 order of magnitude. It's difficult to imagine 5, 6 order of magnitude. Okay, but look at the data, you can put it here. But let me just show some raw data, how it looks like. Okay. So we are away from the resonance about kind of about roughly 1 Gauss. You can see the particle number remains stable over the 1 second. You might lose 10% and so on. So you can imagine the lifetime is pretty long. Okay. So this atom, that essentially not much is happening. Okay. All right. Now we go to 100 milliseconds, 74 milliseconds. You try to get closer. Okay. Now, this on the right-hand side, that's a near resonance. Now, this is a very different scale. Now, this is only 0 to 3. Okay, there's only a squeeze in the kind of a tiny, the first few milliseconds. Okay, this is 34 milliseconds, 28, 19, and 9. Okay, only 9 milligauss. the tiny kind of magnetic field away from the resonance. Okay. Immediately, you see kind of this huge change of the time scale. The last one, you see, almost had that quickly drop down to this to some value. And somehow it becomes stabilized. Okay. At this near resonance, it looks like this is a two-step process. First, it quickly drop down in kind of 10 microseconds or a few 10 microseconds to a value, and then become stable. Okay. It seemed to us there's some kind of fast relaxation. The system quickly decays to kind of relax to a new value and then remain in that value over multiple milliseconds. Okay. Because the system remains stable for the next multiple milliseconds, we start to think about this process seems to be some kind of relaxation. That the moment you turn on the coupling, quickly the system reacts. But then after kind of hundreds of microseconds, then the system become kind of stable for the next few milliseconds. Yeah. That's how the data tell us, okay? And we had no idea this would happen like this. Okay. And certainly this cannot be described by single exponential decay. Okay, because the system becomes pretty much stable over some amount of time. Okay. So let me come back to this. So now you can see this is a large kind of dynamical range from 10 seconds to 10 microseconds kind of scale. And also when you go away from the resonant enough, you see the two tails are pretty symmetric. Okay, that's described by this green area. Okay, when far away from resonance. Okay, all right. I should mention the resonant itself about 8 milliseconds in width. Okay, but you can see such an effect even hundreds of milligauss away. Sorry, 8 milligauss in width. Okay, that's because we have a sufficient dynamic range, so we can still see the Lorentzian, and this is a Lorentzian feet. It looks like this kind of Lorentzian tail. Okay, on both directions. However, when you get really, really close to the resonance, we think about hundreds of milligauss and so on. We can see a clear deviation. Okay. I'm going to say that this we consider this is both enhancement. For thermal gas, first for thermal gas, we do not see such a clear kind of enhancement. Okay. And the second, the scaling law is different. The magenta curve shows the scaling. Okay, that's more consistent with the three body. Okay. It's beyond the kind of three body and they also being kind of being enhanced, okay? And one indication is that the magenta line shape is shifted to one side, it's no longer symmetric, and that's a feature of three-body process that is not symmetric with respect to the resonant position. Well, okay, this is our current understanding. Now, let's move on to the second feature. Is in addition to this fast decay in the beginning, then it seems to be some kind of oscillation that follows. Okay. So repeat the experiment. Okay, in this case, under pretty much very similar conditions, start with a BEC of atoms and so on, but we found the parameter that can really control this oscillation frequency. Turns out it's just a particle number. Okay, based on the same trap. Okay, and now go to different particles in the kind of circular box. Okay, now we start to see there's different oscillations. There's some oscillation not super clear. This oscillation has amplitude only a few hundred molecules. Okay, but we see more particle or higher density seem to be a kind of higher oscillation. Okay, oscillation between these atom and molecules. So we compile all the measurements we have. We can change the particle number over about factor 5 or maybe factor 8 and so on. Okay, and then this is I'm showing the data without any theory first. So we do this, okay, just by analyze our data. It shows this kind of funny curve. Okay. All right. Then we can say, well, okay, so how about us try to compare this with a theory? Let me mention about the theory. The theory is that based on our two mole approximation, atom coupled molecules, or atomic BEC coupled molecular BEC without considering other type of molecule or excitation and so on. Okay. And this will be our expectation. Okay. array. This is for particle in the trap, and how this oscillation should scale with a particle number. So, looking at this, we don't know what to do. It doesn't look like this is we don't really have a very good agreement and so on. Okay, until one day we really kind of brave enough trying to redo the calculation, consider a different model. So we consider this model also partially because we see that near the resonance, okay, there is a clear deviation from the symmetric Lorentzian profile. And there's also kind of in the literature, people start to consider, in addition to the two-body coupling, you might also need this three-body coupling can also become important. So the three-body coupling term is can be described as the so-called recombination. So here, proceed A to the third power, that means you start to have three atoms. In the process, you lose three atoms, and then create one molecule and one atom. Okay. So in this classical chemistry, you see this process is not very different. This is what we have in mind. You say, well, if you have cesium here, you can cancel it. This should be the same as this two particle convert into some molecules. You can say, well, this cesium atom doing nothing. However, fundamentally, they're very different because this is a three-body process, okay, and this is a two-body process. Okay, so you'll be different with little different scaling law. Okay. All right, so based on our measurement, this is a kind of our measurement shows, if you forget about the fit, you just try to forget about the theory, then try to fit our data, we get the kind of exponent to be 0.7, okay, and that can be compared with this theory, the 0.6, okay, for the three-body process, and only 0.2 for the two-body process. Okay. All right. So that's assuming really three-body process, okay. And then for simplicity, that's just consider three-party process dominates. So then you can try to revise your kind of equation. Okay, this energy of the molecule, okay, relative to the atoms, and this is a three-party coupling. Okay, that lose three atoms and create one atom, one molecules. Okay, given this, you can sort of try to derive what's the reaction potential. It's a big kind of lengthy calculation. Okay, but then I show the result right here. Okay, so again, we're assuming the first term is zero if you tune the system into resonance. So 100% and 100% molecules have the same energy. But when there's different fractions, then you can start to see this from this potential, you can see the trace out kind of funny curve like this. This again has the same feature. If you release the system based on beam field, then the system will kind of slide down, eventually get stuck on the other side. Okay, because this will be zero velocity and so on. Okay. But however, the full quantum mechanical calculation will show the system will behave as you kind of have some kind of damping, eventually settle down to the bottom. Okay. In particular, in this case, the bottom happens around this molecule fraction to be about 0.2%. And accidentally, when you look at our data, okay, if you look at the molecular fraction, okay, taking the number of molecules, normalized by the total particle that still remain in the system, indeed we see something very close to 20%. Okay, because so this, if it's not that complicated by other things, this may be another evidence that the minimum, okay, that supports the three-body model. By the way, for two-body model, then it will be 33%. Okay, so I'd like to summarize. Okay, so we have been trying to look into these dynamics carefully near pretty narrow resonance, where across which we can see a stable kind of atom on one side, stable molecule on the other side. Okay, right. And then near the resonance, we're trying to we can see there's some interesting scaling law under this how the coherent oscillation will scale with the particle number. Okay. And then we try to compare these two models. So far, it looks like three-body models seem to fit better in terms of the scaling with the particle number and also the molecular fraction. And this explains why a lot of the BEC experiment, you can never really get beyond 20%. Okay, maybe. All right, so what are the other features you'd like to see? In addition to the coherent oscillation and the enhanced kind of reaction, okay, we'd like to see other features on this reaction potential that we can study. And also, if you look at any of these equations, okay, this resembles the so-called nonlinear wave equation people studying in nonlinear optics. That's the process people can send in the kind of blue photon into a nonlinear crystal and create two red photons. In our case, molecule is like the blue photon because energy twice as large as the atoms. And atoms are the red photons. Okay, and then reverse process will be called high harmonic generation. Okay, you can convert red photon into blue photons. Okay, and that described by essentially as the same kind of wave function other than dispersion different. All right, but if that is the case, the chemical reaction can be modeled as a nonlinear mixing of this matter wave. Okay, there will be a lot of other phase interesting consequences. For example, the phase doubling when you kind of pair atom into molecules. Okay, so I just quickly show that this research in progress. We're trying to create a vortex molecules. Okay, and the idea we want to see that this we try to see that if we can do the interference, can whether we can see this vortex on the atoms. Okay, determine the winding number. If we convert atom into molecules, okay, whether we can see the winding number is doubled. Okay. But so far, he has not succeeded. This is everything based on atom. We're still trying to develop a new kind of the best scheme to really show whether this phase doubling is happening in the molecules. All right, I'll just stop here. And I finally just thank my group members. Okay, thank you for your attention. Yeah.
Retrouvez tous les contenus du Collège de France sur www.college-de-france.fr.